Hi, I'm Greg Mangum, founder and voluntary CEO of Only a Pavement Away. We're the charity that supports people looking to rebuild their lives through employment opportunities in hospitality. To date, Only a Pavement Away has placed 779 people into work, adding an approximate value of over 29 million back into society and the economy. This is our podcast series, Serving Success, where we explore how this amazing industry is truly driving change, supporting people to rebuild their lives and adding real value back into the communities. And it is a fantastic industry. I've been in it all my life, and this is a chance to say thanks to all the folks out there who have supported us. Each month we catch up with an inspiring leader who have put people and purpose at the forefront of their businesses. And I've been dying to say this since I knew that I'm going to introduce you to John Mason, CEO and founder of Sideways, a leader in hospitality compliance training. John has come here today from New Zealand. Now, apparently he's over here for 2 weeks, but I think it sounds better to say, John, thanks for making the trip today just to do the podcast. That shows real dedication.
No, you're welcome, Greg.
Sideways describe themselves as a knowledge-sharing platform, and we are delighted to have been chosen as their official charity partner. Sideways are going to give a proportion of all their customer spend on Level 3 food safety courses, and then they're going to donate that directly to us. So now let's start at the beginning. What inspired you to create Sideways? Was there a particular moment, an epiphany, or an insight that sparked the idea?
Yeah, there was. The thing that inspired me the most, and that what it boils down to, is I struggled to learn when I was at school, and it was a combination of things, which was probably the content, the delivery, and we'll get into that a bit later, but it wasn't inspiring. It was always, you know, this kind of a sheep dip method of how you teach these young children how to learn things that they're probably not very interested in. And it still carries on today. So we won't dive into that too deeply. But I thought, well, then how can we, you know, we leave school, you go to university. If you do, I didn't, because I didn't get the grades. But I had to start out and learn by doing out in the workplace, and, you know, take on a few jobs that weren't the best jobs in the world, but they certainly springboarded me into others. So you learn all the right disciplines about turning up and being productive and all those sorts of things that help you in life later on in life too. And what I noticed was that when we do enter the workplace, there's very little training done, right? There's very little help that was given. And certainly back when I'm old, so when I started, no one really shared things with you, right? You had to learn by asking a lot of questions. You had to learn by following people around and doing things, which is pretty much how hospitality works as well. So it sets us up to learn through others. But not everyone was doing that, right? And not everyone knew how to do that. And it was very unfamiliar for a lot of people. And it also, for some people, they simply just didn't know how to. So when we were looking at learning, and I've been involved in tech for 30 years, what learning looked like at the workplace, it was all very old, very tired. You know, you got onboarded pretty poorly when you turned up and you had to watch videos on men climbing up hills to do your compliance training and stuff. And it was really outdated. And I was like, well, surely we can do this better. How do we help people learn better? And then the kind of epiphany was that, you know, we watch videos on how to learn. YouTube was, this was 12 or 13 years ago, YouTube was taking off when my first company was called Vidlios, and since we've morphed into Sideways. But the idea was that we learn best through watching, and we learn through best through our peers. When you search for a video on YouTube, you know, you're watching some stranger show you how to do something, and generally it works, right? Or you find a new one. But in the office or in the workplace, you couldn't do that. You know, it was always just prescribed again, so more like a school. So this is how we work and this is how we do things. So we decided to look at it like, how do we share this more meaningfully? How do we video people that the best of what they do, share best practices? And we started with brands like Wagamama, where they were the first early adopters in this space, and it just exploded from there. So then we got our foothold into hospitality and how that works, and how front of house, back of house works, how management works. And we're able to share the brilliance of people across whatever they were doing inside those businesses for the good of all. And that took off and it caught fire, and now we're here with Sideways.
And I can share the school bit as well, because yes. I came from a very academic family. Parents were both head teachers. And I remember the school calling in my dad in and saying, you know, he's not like his sisters. And my dad sort of saying, no, he's a boy.
Yeah.
And I remember getting outside and saying to him, Corey, you kicked his ass, Dad. And he said, and now I'm going to kick yours all the way home, son.
Yes.
What do you want to do? I said, I want to work in a pub. And that was sort of, you know, music to everyone's ear. Oh, right. Okay, then.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I think what you say about the learning, it's got to be simple, easy and retentive, isn't it?
That's right.
You know? You are clearly passionate about transforming the world of learning. What do you believe are the fundamental elements that need to change and why? I know you covered some a bit now, but to get that sort of world of learning, how do we do it?
Sure. So Sideways, our latest expression of learning, is taking what we were doing for customers. You know, we started off by doing the videos for them because they didn't know how to, and it was hard, right? And we had our own production team. And then we started doing our own videos based on the learning from doing the videos for our customers. So we launched our own series on compliance training and everything that you need to be compliant, because it was so awful, right? And it still is. And unfortunately, a lot of operators don't know the difference. They're just paying for something that they think they need, and pretty much, unfortunately, don't know what good looks like yet, because they might not have been exposed to it. But what we saw was that if we want to engage people, they're young people, they're entering the workforce for the first time, they're used to seeing small video, bite-sized pieces of information shared through video, or we touch each other on the shoulder and we ask each other how to do stuff. And that gets asked over and over again in every single working environment. Our name's Sideways because we think people learn best through each other, and how do we share and capture those moments? So the idea with the platform is, yes, short video, bite-sized bits of learning on anything, so it could be 10 seconds, 30 seconds, a minute, on just showing you what that thing is that you need to know. But we ask people over and over again, so what if we actually picked up our phones and we videoed the person, and the person said, video me showing you for the last time, put it into the platform, then if anyone else needs it, you know, they can search for it and find it and use it. So I think the answer to that question is that learning is everywhere. We need to be more spontaneous about how we share it. We need to be able to film it ourselves and deliver it in moments, and that there isn't a reason why we can't have a video for every single thing that you need to know. Sure, for the more elaborate things, you can probably spend a lot more time on it, but for the things that are really shifting the needle and improving productivity and consistency, they're all there all day, every day, and we can do that. And so really, thankfully, we've got some amazing customers who've kind of embarked on this journey with us, and they love it, they do it. I was just with Pizza Pilgrims for lunch and feeling a tad bloated now, but
big fans of ours and supporters of ours.
Yeah, they're lovely. Yeah. So I was with Leanne, who I love and adore, and she was telling me how our videos are working for them, and our courses and the latest course we've done, and how well that's going. And you know, we worked with them to help them to video every single recipe, menu item, every single drink, cocktail, etc. And they learned that it was a bit of a process to get there, but once they did it, they now know how to do it, so they can deliver that training exceptionally well in moments. And it's a really cool thing that, you know, when you see people doing it properly.
Yeah, so. I bet it is. And I could probably answer this question, having spoken to you outside in our chats. What motivates you personally to keep doing this work?
Well, I've probably mentioned half of it during this chat so far, but for me, it's making learning easier for everyone. So that's kind of it in a sentence, but what does that actually mean? It's that, you know, if we want to welcome people into the industry, new people into jobs, and get them to upskill them quickly, then we have to make learning easier for them. We have to, you know, embrace them and welcome them into our amazing industry. And by doing things and making learning more accessible and easy for people, I think that's the way forward. So not only that, but with the courses that we provide and, you know, the compliance training, and now we're heading into doing a lot more soft skill training and leadership training and those sorts of things, is that it should be accessible, it should be affordable, you shouldn't be held to ransom to pay for it, you know, especially like you said at the start, there just isn't that money floating around, right? So how do we make it more accessible, and how do we give back? And we're all about that. So we're all about making it super easy to learn, but also super easy for brands to work with us.
Is there a particular module or part of your platform that you're most proud of, one that you think makes the big difference?
Yeah, we've learned through doing many, many courses and many, many videos just how much is involved. And we worked recently with a lady called Natalie Stanton, who's an EHO, and she's amazing at what she does. And she helped us scope and script the level 3 food training, which is food safety training, which is what we're talking about today, and you know what any operator can get hold of now and do the learning with us, and we're going to all give back to this wonderful charity. But that was 70 videos that took, you know, a month to do, but took 3 months to scope and scope out and do it properly, because it was such a big subject matter. And it's also a course that takes 3 days to do off-site, that you have to get people to schlep to go and do the training, and it takes, you know, 2 to 3 days while you're there being sheep-dipped again into this type of learning, which isn't great for people, because the moment you leave, you forget some of that, right? But ours is now 70 videos. It's done in 7 hours through 10 courses at an hour at a time. And again, we've democratized that, so it's easier for the learner first. That was our first goal. Second goal was, let's make it affordable so it's not crazy for the operators. And, you know, if we can get the operators using us instead of the other ways that they have to do this training, then again, we make it super easy for their learners, for their chefs, and for their GMs and the people that need to do it. They can do it easier, it takes them less time, it costs the operator less money, and we all give to Only a Pavement Away. So I couldn't think of anything else that I could be more proud of.
Brilliant. And this next question is going to really help me personally, because you can imagine, being a charity, then we have a lot of legislative training that the team have to do. What can businesses do to really engage their teams in learning and development?
We just have to make things easier to do, right? I mean, no one wants to sit down and have to do long, boring things. And it's also understanding the audiences for each subject matter. So what are the key things that they need to know? How would you want to learn them yourself? How do we learn in our private lives? And it's about wrapping all those things together so that we can deliver things that make people actually enjoy it. So the point of they do the training, we hear this all the time, that they actually liked doing it, you know, and we're shifting it from a have to a want to. And things like that. So it depends on the subject matter. It's pretty hard sometimes. Some things are pretty dry. But, you know, there's certainly ways that you can find ways to make it way more engaging and to deliver something that takes a lot less time and they can learn something really quickly.
So. And it's going to be interesting, again, on this one, your answer, because when we go out then, it's great with the big employers because they don't have to worry about, say, taking someone on who's come from some form of vulnerability or something in life has set them back. And it's, you know, we often get single operators saying to us, I can't do this. I haven't got a personnel manager. I haven't got a mentoring department. So how do you ensure your training is accessible, not just for the large employers, but for smaller operators and individuals in the industry?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think the first thing we're doing, and we're looking at some other things at the moment, but the first thing we're doing is making it affordable. So there's no barrier to entry, because I bet you you're spending more money somehow on it than we charge, and you get it. It all comes with our platform. So all the content that we do and any content that we do moving forward is all part of the package. It's not like you have to pay more for this and that. So we're really proud of that. And I think we're at least 50% more affordable than any other supplier out there. But then there's other things you can do in terms of content. And the content for me, and I had a really good chat to a potential partner a couple of days ago. So we're looking at, you know, how do we make the learning more accessible as well? So we can pull the transcript out of the videos. So if you want to listen to them, we can pull it out so you can read it. So everyone has different learning styles, and some people need all of that. And, you know, that's something that we're exploring now so that we can offer our customers the 4 ways that people will like to learn and have to learn because of whatever learning style that best suits them. So we're looking at that right now too.
What's your vision for the future of compliance training in hospitality? Where's it headed?
Well, I kind of hope we've almost finished with compliance because we've done it for so long. But if we look at compliance and training, giving people access to the content they need right in that moment, right? So AI is going to deliver that, right? Right now, AI will make a video for you on anything you possibly could want, but what we're really keen to do is use it differently to that. And what I mean by that is we believe in people-led training or people-led communications, people-led knowledge sharing, so that we learn best through others, right? And let's find those experts and distill that learning down into the videos that we need, and then the AI and the other platforms. And we're working with many, many other platforms too, so you don't just have to use our content in sideways. It's available in other platforms that support and train and the comms platforms and the workforce management platforms as well. But you should be able to search for the thing that you need, right? I see learning as being in the future or in the near future a search bar. So you just search for the thing that you need to know and it finds it for you. But the thing that you need first is all of that content, right? So our goal is to provide that human-led expert or industry-approved training to across the board for nearly everything, and we'll get there, but it's going to take us a few more years to do that.
And I think that's really important for our members as well, because a number of them, their age range won't be in the younger tech-savvy group, or they've come from a background where, or been in a situation where tech hasn't played a big part.
Yeah.
So what advice would you give to other tech founders or entrepreneurs who want to build a social impact into their business model? You know, because you didn't have to to pick us. That was something that your integrity and you wanted to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, another really good question. I think, you know, you talked about purpose before. So you've got to have a purpose that goes beyond just being profitable. You know, you've got to enjoy what you do. You've got to surround yourself with amazing people. And the chats we've had have been super inspiring. The coming to your dinner last year with a guest of Katie Moses and sitting there and just, I think I even cried at some of it, right? That's just unfortunately how I'm made. But
I have that effect when I do a presentation. Yeah. Thanks for that, John.
Yeah. but I was hooked then, right? It was like, okay, when we can afford to do something, like I said to you previously, then this is what we want to do. And just seeing everyone else and doing what they do, and goodness, the biking and the stinking hot heat and watching people suffering and the walking and all the rest of it. Well, this is our small part, right, which is doesn't involve all that exercise. But we can give back through the generosity of our customers. So they choose us, we can give back. And that's not super hard to do, right? That just requires a little bit of thinking and creativity about how you do it. And I'm sure that this will evolve, that we can become even more creative in ways that we give. So,
yeah. How can our listeners, whether they're employers, potential partners or individuals, get involved and access your platform? So how can we get more people using Sideways, which, you know, I won't hide the fact is...
Yeah,
it's great for us as a charity.
Yeah, that's right. Like I said before, so we work with many, many operators that can use the platform and get the content that comes with the platform. If people just want the level 3, because that's what we're doing at the moment, they can buy it and we can put it into their platform of choice, or they can just use Sideways to deliver that training. So, if they're doing it somewhere else anyway, then that should be a low barrier to be able to just come and do it in ours. It takes less time, it's better, it costs less. But also we have our partners out there that we're working with that are also actively using our content because their customers are asking for it. So across the board, wherever you are, and especially around level 3 at the moment, that's what we're talking about. You come and have a chat to us, you know, talk to us. What do you need? How, you know, can we help you? And we'll find a solution for that. And yeah, the money that you will save you so much money that, and we're going to give it back to the charity. And yeah, we're open to any ideas, really.
Brilliant. And people just go and look for Sideways on the internet?
Yeah, sideways.ai.
So if you got that, folks, it's sideways.ai.
There you go.
Get in touch with this guy, because they're a great team. So what are the goals for next year?
More customers, more content, more partnerships, just spreading the word. As I said, if our purpose is to make learning easier for everyone, then it has to be accessible to everyone.
More time in the UK?
Yep, I'm going to be in the UK a lot more next year. I lived here for 20 years, folks, so I'm not just some random Kiwi that pops up every now and then. A lot of people know me in the industry. I've done the time. I've worked with many, many brands and operators, and I'm a Londoner, and I've got the passport and everything. But spending some time with my family, I've been away for so long that I moved back to New Zealand for those reasons, and I'm here 4 times a year, but next year I'll be here for a bit longer as well.
We always finish our episodes with a few quick-fire questions.
Sure.
What's your favourite thing about hospitality?
Food.
Favourite meal, then, to order at a restaurant?
Steak, followed with a Malbec, of course.
Whatever. Yeah?
Yeah.
Any trimmings?
Well, yeah, you're probably going to get some fries with that, aren't you? But
this is what I love about you, John, because I did a podcast once, and I could tell when they said to me, what's your favourite meal? And I said, steak and chips and a nice glass of red.
Yeah.
They thought... oh my God, we can't send this out to sort of like the high end of hospitality.
What a Philistine, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, what a Philistine. I bet you have a fried egg on the top as well, yeah. So,
But we have some tremendous customers, you know, Mountain and that wood-fired cooking, you know, all of the Super 8 guys and Blacklock and those types. So, you know, I get to eat a lot of it while I'm
there. So you've got Maria McCann there?
Yes.
So they did...
Special Human.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, they did the hike last year and... On the Saturday night, what we call the graduation, when everybody's finished the hike and that they supplied all the steaks, you know. So I think there was a lot of people at the end of that saying, I'm going to sign up. I want to do next year. I think they were willing to go through the pain just for the Saturday night.
Well, I would have done that too, actually. Yeah.
What's the best leadership advice you've ever received?
My first ever job, like I said, I had to start in a warehouse. So my boss there, who I just caught up with recently, and we had this chat, but he told me to never die wondering. And what he actually meant was... ask lots of questions, right? And the right person, the right question, you'll get the right answer. And we don't do that. You know, we're very poor at asking for help. We're very poor at walking up to someone, a stranger, and asking, or even not a stranger, someone at work or someone at home or your friends or whatever, and just saying, hey, I need help, or I need answer to this question. And you'd be surprised just how many people will help you.
Yeah. And it's interesting you say that, because one of the chief execs of one of the big companies we work with, his mentor is a pub manageress.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. And he said that's how he finds out about the business. So I thought that, I've never heard of that before.
Yeah.
If you could have dinner with a figure, any figure in the hospitality world, past or present, who would it be?
Francis Melman, who's a steak, Argentinian steak chef with lots of famous restaurants dotted around the world. And I follow him, you know, and what he does. And, I love cooking with fire anyway, so I'm outdoors all the time. And, I'd just love to have a meal with him.
Describe hospitality in one word.
Love.
Really?
Mm.
Yeah.
I think if you love what you do and you're passionate about it, it just shines right through everything.
Yeah, and I think it's hospitality that I can't think of a time in hospitality when I haven't, without looking for it, had a good mentor. You know, the first guy I worked in steakhouses with was the one who got me to talk to my parents about catering college and... You know, my MD at a pub company who came and stood with me on a Friday night in the toughest of tough pubs in the whole of the UK.
Yeah.
You know, it was always, always was that care and consideration and that wanting people to do well and not put them down, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And if you see the love just with the smiles and the greetings and the delivery of the food and the making of that food or drinks or whatever it might be, and it's brought to you with kindness.
Yeah.
It just makes your whole experience much better, right?
Yeah, I do remember when I first started off in that steakhouse chain when I was about 16, the chef, Big Jim, we used to call him. Well, we used to call him other things, but he's told me I have to call him Big Jim here for sensitivity. He just said, it's an experience served with passion.
Yes, that's right.
What guest would you like to hear on the next Serving Success episode?
Yeah, I thought about this, and he's a good friend of mine, actually, Michael Tinsager, who hosts another podcast called Hospitality Mavericks, but he's been doing it for... 4 or 5 years, and so he's interviewed some amazing guests, and I think he'd have something really cool to be able to share with you guys.
Yeah, he might teach me how to do it properly.
No,
as well,
I actually don't. I don't think you suffer from that. I think you do yourself proud. So but Michael he would love to have a chat. So
yeah, that'd be great. So thanks so much for listening, everybody out there. It's a huge thank you to John for joining us and for doing such a phenomenal journey just to be here for our podcast all the way from New Zealand. And of course to our sponsors, Stonegate, who without them we wouldn't be able to run these, which is led by the amazing David McDowell. Please be sure, folks, to give us a review and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure never to miss an episode, because if you do... then your life isn't fulfilled. Keep your eyes and your ears peeled for the next one, and we'll see you then. Thank you very much.